Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse us, everyone. We are Those Guys, as I'm sure you might know, and we're having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio right now. Basically, though, before we begin this show, I would like to say that we were actually, Blog Talk Radio knew what song they wanted to play, but we were actually, we didn't know what song we wanted to play specifically. Because, I mean, look at tonight, you know, the people that came back tonight and everything that happened tonight, I mean, we don't know what song to put on. So we would like to play this for you all. That is literally the only way we could describe this night.
You remember that part where I told you guys, by the way, hi, I'm Satish Rem. It's good to hear from you.
Hi, I'm Matt Marrero. We are Those Guys.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned before multiple times on this podcast that Matt does the openings and I do the endings on a regular night. And
right.
Neither of us usually have any idea what the other one is doing. I've just been sitting here now. Like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah, I mean, that was tonight, because tonight, I think tonight, okay.
And this is coming after I let you do the ending last night, and you picked John Cena's theme song.
Well, okay, but let's be honest, though. Okay, usually, right, I mean, this was a while ago. What I would do is I would do remixes of people's themes. I would take, like, three, but they kept both AJ and Chris Jericho pretty under wraps, to the point where while we did learn about Chris Jericho today, it was while Raw was going on, you know, and it was mostly just us. It was still speculation, basically. And then we still
but
didn't
he
know because
the
Miz
big
came
return.
Out.
Miz was the big return.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the advertised former WWE champion.
Right. But still, though, all jokes aside, it's just, I don't know, it was just one of those things where I didn't have the time to do that. So I thought, really? Like, how do we describe tonight? And then, how do he? So
I don't know where
that.
The fuck you got that.
You don't know where the hell I got that from? You should watch the Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. Very good show.
I don't watch
very
anime.
Good anime. This mother bullshitting. He's bullshitting.
Although
all
I am interested in Makaku City Actors. That looks wonderful. Anyway.
We're
going to be talking about Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, we're going to start from the beginning, because why not? But before we do, I just want to say that overall, I really – two things. First off, I really believe that they rehired Vince Russo, but it's okay, because when you have people buffering Vince Russo, the swerves don't get that bad. So I'm pretty sure they rehired Vince Russo.
I don't know who wrote tonight's episode. I don't know what happened tonight, really. But
yeah.
There was some bad. No, I'm not going to lie to you. This was not an A-plus episode, because I am pretty much
no,
a hard-ass grader. I'll admit to that.
No. Yes, as am I.
But there was a lot of good, a lot of new/old, a lot of return to the formula success, and the good outweighed the bad, which was the important thing coming off a pay-per-view where I would argue the good outweighed the bad.
Yeah, and what they were smart about was they did something that, strangely, they haven't done in a while. I think they're really starting to realize, let's actually keep our main stuff, you know, that we really want people to see, towards the end of the night. Obviously, you know, they always have main events, but sometimes, like tonight's main event, you don't really care. And I think that in a way they knew that, And I'm happy. Like, they became self-aware just for a bit, where they thought, maybe people won't want to see a tag match, you know. Two tag matches tonight, I literally thought they rehired Teddy Long as well. Vince Russo and Teddy Long, playa, just coming in to make tag team matches. So to have them think, okay, we need to do something, right? And then getting Jericho back, and then thinking, all right, we need to do something else, and then bringing AJ back. I mean, it was just phenomenal. For, you know, those, you know, scenes were phenomenal, especially because it felt as if it was a slow build-up the entire Raw, where in the beginning I thought it was very bad. I thought they were retreading because that's, you know, what they do a lot. When we had certain matches, I thought things were getting really bad, and then they had some good matches, Cesaro versus Kofi, and then finally we get to, I mean, some of these great returns that we'll really get in depth with later. But again, starting with the beginning, right? Oh, actually, before we even get to that, I would like to mention the music that we used tonight, right? Obviously, it was also picked a bit last minute, but because I thought, what can I think of just a peppy anime theme? And as I was listening to it, it popped up during the main event match. So I'd like you to think, Satish, and everyone listening at home, really just think about that theme song from Haruhi playing while Roman Reigns is just beating the hell out of Randy Orton.
You want to think of a cool theme song? The Jack Swagger's theme song extended over into the promo where the Usos and Sheamus were coming out. So we saw the Usos and the Sheamus getting ready backstage.
Yeah.
With Real American playing.
That's funny.
And that was just really funny to me because they're just beating each other off. It's
funny, especially because just a month ago, Zeb Colter did not like any of those three men. They all should be deported.
I don't think he likes them at all anymore, but they're not a big priority on his list anymore.
Which is nice, yeah. But anyway, starting off with the first John Cena segment, because here we are, everyone. Also, by the way, if you want to call to talk about whatever it is we're currently talking about, right? So let's say we get to the main event. You want to talk to us about the main event? Perfect. You know, call in whenever we are at that topic that you are dying to talk about. So
yeah,
you want to call in?
You know, just hold off for a bit if you want to just talk later on. Like, if you want to talk about Paige, like, I want to talk about Paige because I always want to talk about Paige. Wait till start talking about Paige, then call in and we can talk about Paige together because
that's what people
should be doing. Talking about Paige. Anyway, Matt, go ahead.
Right, exactly. No, yeah, exactly. You know, and definitely just call in. You know, the number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468.
Talk about Paige.
So we start off with the segment, and it was just, I was so confused over it because, so we have, I do see that, you know, they were trying to bribe John Cena, basically, which was nice, because
smart and in character,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm a little sad he didn't take it. Here's the thing. When I say take it, by the way, I don't mean that he was going to, you know, become full heel or anything along those lines. I wanted a kind of aloof Cena where it's just, here's this bonus. Well, it's because of my hard work. It is, John. It is because of your hard work. And then the second they say, hey, John, could you, you know, beat up Dean Ambrose for us? Why? John, we gave you that money. Well, because of my hard work.
It's funny because that thought didn't occur to me because I just was so upset with the fact Cena was champion. Not so much that, you know, it spoiled my mood or anything. But, you know, I was just sitting there like, damn, John Cena won. Because I was very apathetic last night. And I was continuously apathetic into the opening segment today until we saw the video package that opened up Raw that was basically like John Cena.
Now you're like, angry.
Yeah, like a riding hero. I'm like, and then repeating Cole's, you know, the greatest champion of all time, like in my face. Like, can you not do that to me?
It's great. Because,
a loose Cena would have been hilarious. Just, you know, yes, John, here's the video game cover. Yes, John, you're off tonight. Oh, that's great. John, you're facing Dean Ambrose tonight. Oh, okay. It's a hardcore match. Okay. You have to win or else you'll lose your title. Oh, okay. So he has to beat the shit out of Ambrose. And then backstage, you just see Triple H, like, twiddling his thumbs and twirling his fake mustache. Yes, this is what they wanted.
But you see, in the background, you see just John Cena and Dean Ambrose hugging it out. Just like, again, completely aloof John. He's basically Bo Dallas, just not understanding the depth of what's going on around him.
It's funny, because that actually speaks to the Bo Dallas character and why it's so good. But with John, I mean, it's weird, because up to the point when he was making the crap jokes about Stephanie, which was just stupid, I wasn't that angry, because honestly, John is Super Cena. So when it comes down to this thing, of course he's not going to take the easy way out because he's Super Cena. And it's a matter of he's not stupid. I mean, I wasn't bothered by that. Of course he's not stupid.
Of course.
He knows
and
that the authority doesn't like him.
And for once, you know, they're doing something. It's just weird. Another thing that's weird to me, for once, someone in the back got their idea heard, right, where they said, hey, let's have John Cena do something that kids can look up to. And
it's
funny. You know what? Maybe.
Yeah, because he spoke out against the people offering him nice things because he knows it was basically a setup. And that being said, too, you know, the entire segment was gold because, first off, 15th championship, WWE 2K15, that's really funny to me. The cover didn't look half bad. I don't want it, which I'm happy about because I'm sure that this segment is now an opening to basically next week. They're going to be like, oh, you know what, since Sean didn't really want it, we're going to show you some other covers. You know, so that's going to be their excuse for alternate covers, where it's like, well, John didn't really want it. I mean, he wasn't happy about it. So
how
we
bad
gave
would that be, though, if it's John Cena photoshopped? Like, John Cena now photoshops himself into Triple H covers.
Oh, God.
John Cena learned how to use Photoshop all by himself. He doesn't need the WWE.
No, honestly, I think those jokes are over because his trial period probably ran out. So I don't think we're going to see any more John Cena photoshops at all anymore.
You're telling me that John Cena doesn't own the company that makes... You're telling me that John Cena does not own Adobe with the money
I'm
that he
sure
has?
I'm sure he does, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't actually, like, own the product.
Somehow, he just... Again, aloof John. The world is burning around him, and John picks his nose. Just aloof John.
Yeah.
Is best John.
But that's how he should... I mean, yeah, the segment was what it was. And then the icing on the cake was for me, where it's just after you announced the Fatal 4-Way, everyone's like, yeah, we're all thinking Cena's still going to win. As he's walking out, Triple H to him, you know, does the whole, in case you get out of that, there's always a plan B. And Rollins comes out. And that was not only a reference to when he broke our hearts, but also just a really subtle segue into the first match of the night. So that whole segment was pretty much gold outside of Cena's stupid crap jokes.
I would like to mention, though, do you feel a bit weird that they've – because that's another thing that made this segment feel weird for me is that they announced the main event so early. I mean, I know I've said before on the podcast, yes, I don't want them to have the main event for the last second because that's stupid as well. But it just feels as if we have a full month to play with. You know, it just feels really weird that we know – not only do we know who's fighting each other, we've already put them into the main event. I feel as if with the fact that, you know, these people are going to be both on Raw and SmackDown, I'm just very worried that it's going to get played out very fast.
Oh, I'm not. I'm really happy because now they can give something a full... I mean, they've been giving things full four-week builds anyway. You know what I mean? Where, okay, let's say we knew Daniel Bryan was going to fight Kane, right? But it wasn't announced until week three. We knew that's what they were going to. So it's not like we were sitting there like, wow, Daniel Bryan's facing Undertaker? How did that happen? You know?
No,
so, like,
I
their
understand.
Builds were pretty blatant. So,
yeah.
Although
fair
a Fatal 4-Way isn't
enough.
As, like, you know, clear as a one-on-one,
that's
it makes sense in the sense of, you know what? Triple H is like, you know what? Fucking John Cena won. We're going to offer him our hand. If he doesn't want it, let's start fucking him over from day one. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't
fair
make
enough,
sense
fair
for, yeah. But I agree with you because it does seem weird just be like, you know what? The main event now. Oh, okay. But,
you know, and I know we've had
the story. It works
like,
for the story because now they can have this whole
longer
down thing.
You know, we've had longer. I will fight you, Rock, a year from now. You know, go train
one
with the Mystics.
One year from now.
Go train
and
with the
and then we'll ignore that for 6 months until you come back, and then we'll talk about it again.
How great is that, by the way? It's like, I will fight you a year from now, and it's like, I will train against you, John Cena. I expect it. Like, as if it was like a kung fu movie, like The Rock just went to train in, like, the Himalayas. He just trained on mountaintops.
I think he's
trained
against Husky Harris, if I remember correctly, and Kurt Hawkins, which is funny, by the way.
Really?
Because he's not with the company.
That's funny. But seriously, though, So we move forward.
I just got nerves rope. I'm rewarding myself for surviving tonight. It was an emotional roller coaster.
It was. You see, that's the thing about tonight. I really want to put it out there if anyone really doesn't understand. It's just, it was really bad to me at first. Because it felt as if they thought, well, we made John Cena champion, and to them, that's, you know, like a thing. You know, that's a good thing for them. And we brought Jericho back because, you know, once Jericho came out, I was like, oh, two things. So once these two things happened, I thought, oh, they think they did so well that they don't need to try. And in a way, yeah, there were bad parts of tonight that really did reflect that. But at the same time, it's just, wow, you know, they did try really hard when it came to it. So it's like, damn, you just, you know, you sit there and you think, damn, literally split down the middle, Raw was both good and bad.
You see, I'm a huge Jericho mark. Jericho and Shawn Michaels are those guys that I will, and
yeah.
Sam Punk even to an extent, are guys that I will always, like, go nuts over. So.
Right.
Seeing Jericho was a turning point of the night for me, where especially seeing Jericho after getting Miz, where that's what made
mm-hmm.
it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, if it was, I enjoyed that a lot more than just getting Jericho.
Yeah.
I'll admit to that. You know, so
yeah,
kudos
yeah, yeah.
to them for doing that much. Because
they were
A,
smart.
You have to pop Miz in the face. That was great. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
who doesn't love to see Miz get beat down? I would love to see the Miz get fired. Wouldn't you, Maddie? I would love that. But
our resident fact checker, who we supplied her with a photo of Miz holding the WWE Championship because she supplied us with a gif of Zeb Coulter being pulled away by a ref at the last minute before Kane's pyrotechnics went off last
World
night.
To look at. But, yeah, it is personal. I mean, it's just, for me, that was a big turning point. I know we'll go through this one by one, these segments.
But still, no, I agree.
That was a
I
big
agree.
Thing for me. You know, where
No.
The only big highlight earlier for me was Swagger's thing, where I freaked
yeah.
out because I was like,
yeah.
wow. And not to say, I'll be honest with you, not to say everything else was bad. Like, it's not like a black or white bad or good thing. It's just, it didn't
it
get
kind
me
of
off my feet,
it
you
paled.
Know?
That's the thing, yeah. And, you know, I mean, one good thing before we completely just say get away from us beginning segment, Triple H talking about, you know, calling out John Cena on how he spoke, I was kind of tired. I will admit I had a nap beforehand and I was still kind of out of it. I really thought I had time traveled back to the year 2006.
Whoa, slow your roll there, Dr. Thugonomics. Okay, look, you haven't time traveled. All right, homie G's? Come on.
God, that was beautiful.
That was brilliant. I want
yeah.
that clip because that was that was classic.
Oh my! I want that on a shirt.
That's
speaking
cool
of, by the way, the promo code for tonight is a T-shirt 50, I believe. So, and what's cool is it actually is going on until 3:30 a.m. T-shirt 50. So by the time our show ends, which should be 1:30, I would say, I'm immediately getting a shirt. I'm just, because it's buy one, get one 50% off. Now, I'm
not
saying
WWE. It's really sad that WWE doesn't pay you.
Yeah, I'm not saying that WWE is promoting us. But the doctor of Thugonomics is always correct.
Because you do this shit more passionately than the people who get paid to do this shit. I'd rather listen to you talk about the network than the Bellas talk about the network. Especially over, like, you know, radio. The Bellas have
love
no...
No, I just really want to put this out there. Just the WWE Network, not only do you get Money in the Bank, but you get all papers, others' views, like WrestleMania, and then older ones. You do, King. Like, that's how I feel whenever King promotes the network.
No, I just... King was really bad tonight, not in the page way, but in the just, he contributed nothing.
Yeah, I actually,
at
when
all.
You think about it, when you think about it, yeah, I think that he literally, like, I'm a bit worried about his health, because if I really recall correct, I mean, I know we had a lot of crazy things happen tonight, but I really, usually I have a lot of quotes from people, right? I had no King quotes. I don't think I have any, no, I have one King quote, mind you, and it was, we'll talk about it a bit, you know, later, but
Puppies.
I don't really, it wasn't memorable.
No, that wasn't it,
yeah,
sorry,
right?
Fuck.
Puppies, yeah, no, but it was
I may
nothing
have
memorable.
Too.
Yeah, nothing memorable, which is sad.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah. Go ahead.
Going forward, we have Rollins versus RVD, which that's the first thing that made me think, are they serious? You know, because why is this match happening? Why are we retreading old stuff again? We just had RVD looking really good at Money in the Bank. Why are we doing this again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was, like it felt as if the first hour was pretty much a blur, and then 45 minutes in, we get Rusev and Lana, and Rusev and Lana are, you know, doing their thing, and then the music hits. And I actually, again, I told you, I had a nap I was out of it. I was actually laying down on a bed, trying to type whenever I could, but still really out of it. And all of a sudden that hit, and then I sat up.
And for me,
and
the long-term thing that pissed me off is just,
okay,
this was cool, except, like you said, we just fucking had this. We just had this as a build-up to Money in the Bank. You know what I mean? Like, everything that happened in terms of the build-up to Money in the Bank, if you wanted to do that here, it would have been cool. But it was just like, why? And again, this wasn't a bad match. I didn't think it was a bad match. There were some cool spots, you know?
But yeah, that's why I really didn't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's just the same thing. Yeah.
So moving on to the Swagger thing, which actually, and it's funny because I sit there thinking to myself, like, and I said this to Maddie when we were discussing it during the show, WWE either doesn't blame Swagger for what he did, or they're using the Rusev thing as a punishment, or they want us to like him again after we knew that he hurt Barrett.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a weird mix between, like, I'm a bit worried that maybe there's a chance that, I feel as if everything in WWE in the back is double-edged, where it's like, okay, ready? Like, Jerry the King Lawler slaps a woman on the ass and, like, grabs it, right? Immediately everyone goes, like, thinks, like, oh, God, you know, he needs some sensitivity training, obviously, because you can't do that in the workplace. And then in the same breath, someone else in the company gives him a high five right after for, quote-unquote, being a man, which is obviously completely ridiculous, right? That's how I feel this company is, where someone in the back went, he can't hurt people, he's hurting our people, that's bad. But then someone else went, but look at how strong and tough he looked when he did it. God, that's what a man should be. And it's like, what? Like, I'm really worried that that's kind of what we have here, where it's just, he should be punished because, yes, you know, he's going to lose to Rusev. America will not win. But at the same time, you flip it around and you've made Swagger a face and made people cheer him. So it's a really weird kind of double, something always comes with something. It's never just... Usually, it's never just all good or all bad.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's interesting, by the way. So, Hartford is pretty much a smart crowd, I would say.
Yes.
Now, with any smart crowd, your good heels are going to get cheers, right?
Yeah.
So, with Rusev, I want to make the argument that he's actually, and Lana by extension, they're not good heels. People are actually booing them in terms of X-Pac heat. Like, they want them off their TV. Because...
I'll argue that yes, some of what Lana is doing recently is getting her X-Pac heat, some of that yelling, maybe just my own opinion, but what I also feel is that even though they are good heels, okay, Zeb was funny, right? Where even at the end of the day when you're like, that guy literally just told Rey Mysterio to go back to his country when he's from, but, so that's the thing, where you would laugh. It was ludicrous, right? Where Lana, she isn't really being ludicrous because she isn't even that funny. She's strong,
she is
she's powerful.
Ludicrous, though, if you listen to the shit
but not
she's
funny,
saying.
But not funny. That's the thing. Where there's something about it. Also, it's a simple fact that there are some people who do not like America. So, yeah, you could say maybe you're cheering her to not like America, but I don't feel like it's engaging. Also, think about it like this, too. They've given her some more things to say, but I also feel as if, I hate to say this, they're a bit too highbrow for the people that she's talking to, right? Where Zeb, he always has a sign with something witty, but not too, where it's like, you know, the best defense, you know, things like that. Where
business
with
fans.
Her, right, where,
sorry.
Where with
I
her,
don't finish all
no,
the
I know,
stuff,
I know, I,
love
I know,
it.
I know. Where with her, it's just, you know, it's like, she basically names people that people, some people, sadly, would have to Google to really get. Where I think, I don't know, I feel as if it's just, I feel like there's a disconnect. You know, and of course, it doesn't help when Rusev is also not getting, you know, cheers because he's, you know, like, I agree. I don't think Rusev is as over as they want him to be. So I'll give you Rusev. But Lana also isn't able to help it because they're not giving her things that make people go, wow, like, this is pretty funny what she thinks, you know? Where for some, it's just, whoa, she's going against America. We're in America. Right? So people are just going to naturally boo. I feel. But the weird thing, I think, is that Swagger is, you know, like, okay, is now a face where, again, I wanted this to happen, but if they're smart, the second that this program is over, he will be a heel again. Because again, like we mentioned this before the podcast, you know, to each other, if they're smart, they just, you know, they won't focus on the racist stuff for right now, because what matters is that, yeah, you do want to deport these two people, you know? You don't want these two people winning. They're being rude in America. It's terrible. So you're going to want to have all, you know, these two teams, you know, beating each other up or yelling at each other. But then once it's all said and done, when you're like, oh, yeah, I like that Zeb guy, he starts being racist again. And you're like, wait a minute. You know, we're like everyone has that one redeeming quality. But then you remember, like, everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's with the territory of the WWE.
Right.
Comes them expecting us to have a short memory. You know, so even if this is a more semi-permanent face turn, it makes sense because we've had people switch between heel to face so quickly after doing horrible things. But, you know, heat transfers over. So with Swagger, the second he turned face American, he got an incredible pop. In fact, one of the loudest reactions of the night was the response to him entering the ring and then Coulter and Swagger just doing their thing. And when he arm-dragged Rusev and he left the ring, there was raucous applause. And I was part of that. You know, I wasn't there, but
I
was screaming. Like, this is really good.
Yeah, people actually, I think this is the first time in a very long time that people have genuinely cheered on Swagger because they said, let's go Swagger. And I thought, whoa.
Yeah, not since we mentioned the Swagger Soaring Eagle, which, by the way, is still amazing.
Yeah, that was the last time I think I heard anything, just when he was the Eagle. Other than that, nothing. But he wasn't the Eagle. He should be the Eagle.
No, when he had the Eagle.
No, but he should be the Eagle. When he was in that program with Adam Rose, they really should have had him be the Eagle. And it's like, hey, look, it's a Soaring Eagle. Wait a minute. No, it's Chuck Swagger.
No, I would have actually loved the Eagle taking on the Bunny while Swagger and Rose fought.
No, you mean the Eagle taking on the Bunny while Swagger and Rose were their managers. And
Zeb
was on commentary.
That would have been a SmackDown-esque match, huh?
That would have been the pay-per-view kickoff.
I would give it to them.
Yeah. But anyway, I hope that they don't want us to have those, you know, I know that they usually expect us to have really, you know, shitty memories, but I'm hoping that they don't expect that now, if only because we have the network. You know, where it's just, like, yeah, I really want them to, you know, change their business model, if only for that reason, where it's like, we have the network now. I know we can see other people, what they've done. So, you know, obviously, like, Jericho coming out, no one's going to remember, you know, Jericho, like, punting flags. But at the same time, I still, especially because it also won't be on the network, but at the same time, I don't want them to just think, like, yep, Zeb is a good guy now, because you've always loved him. No, like, it's funny too, because it's not even as if he's from the Attitude Era where we can go, oh, you know, back in the day, you know, they don't have those matches on yet. No, they have, you know, 2012 to 2014 up on the network, Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views. So you can see this guy coming out.
When it came to Swagger, I know that we both discussed this exact feud on the podcast before, and I liken Swagger's face turn. So I'm not as definitive as you as wanting to turn him back heel. And I'll say it because I compared him to Kurt Angle. Because, well, first off, Swagger, I've always thought, has a lot of potential. And I hate that he's an unsafe worker because I've wanted to like him and respect him and love him for so long. And, you know, not only is he an unsafe worker, but he also ran into that issue, I think, with the weed when he was about to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, it would have been okay by me, you know, because that was first when he got Coulter, and everyone was like, wow, this is incredible. He's really just being a great heel.
No, I agree. At that time, I was there, too.
And he's got a huge amateur wrestling background, and I think a real collegiate wrestling background, where he was damn good for years. So this guy has potential. And I hate that he's an unsafe worker, but you look at his gimmick now, or what has always been just this all-American thing, and when Kurt Angle was the Olympic gold medalist, for a while, he was a heel Olympic gold medalist, where his whole thing was, I'm an Olympic gold medalist, I'm better than you kind of thing. You know, and it's like, Kurt Angle has done so much for this freaking country, and you guys have done shit, so you're terrible, you know, but the fans booing him. And when he turned face, it wasn't as quick as the Swagger thing, but all that heat transferred over where he got a huge amount of cheers. Because just generally, it's really hard not to cheer a face American hero, no matter how bad they are, you know? As long as someone's just like, yeah, USA, that'll garner some chants and cheers. So with Swagger now turning face, if they don't make any more racist comments, they're going to liken that over where I think that he's just going to transfer. People are going to love him no matter what he does.
I think so. I don't know. Then I know. There's just something about Coulter. I mean, I want to see him without the racist stuff then, because with the racist stuff, he's done a very good job.
I mean, you look at tonight. Tonight he cut a very solid promo against Lana, basically saying, look, freedom of speech in America is why you can say what you can. And this is why I can say what I can, too. If I went to your country, I couldn't say shit. So
yeah.
You shouldn't be hating, bitch. Like, kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was good.
I know.
And then Swagger, you know.
You know what I would like, hopefully, in the future, then? I would hope that after this, we get this weird... Because, again, here's the thing. Here's how I think they should turn him back then. But again, very slow. Basically have, okay, the way Miz was tonight, where Miz believed that he was the good guy in all of this, in a way, we can easily have now, which I know technically Deb always believed he was the good guy,
yeah,
right? But he was still very, he was in your face about it. Now I would kind of like him to be, you know, yes, now that Swagger has either conquered Big E, or now that Swagger has weakened, not Big E, Rusev, so now that someone else could come in to fight Rusev, we're going to have Swagger fight some other people, you know, look at, you know, and again, not be even so angry about it, just be very in your face about it, you know, where it's just, not in your face, just be very, like, you know, calm about it, the way he was tonight, where tonight he's cut a normal promo, wasn't, go back to your country, you're here illegally, although he said, if this is your real name, to Lana, which was really
yeah,
nice.
No, that was kind of funny, because the crowd liked it now. That's the thing, like, everything, that's what I'm saying, everything he was doing before can work, in my opinion, as a face gimmick.
But it has to be a heel.
The racism.
But the thing is, though, it has to be a heel, because who else could it work against now? That's the problem. What other heel? That's why I think it should be turned back, because what other heel could he go after Rusev?
Oh, I get it, but that's like saying, that's like demoting Kurt Angle's gimmick.
But Kurt Angle wasn't really... Kurt Angle was the American hero, yes, but, like, there were, it's just hard to, I don't know, something about, you know,
part of what they did when they turned him face was they gave him this whole wrestling machine thing, and, you know, they focused a bit more on that. It's not hard to kind of focus on Swagger's collegiate wrestling background and say, this guy is a real wrestler, you know, that kind of stuff, and just promote him in a good way. Like, it's not difficult if they care enough to do it, and that's why I would be okay with them doing this face turn for a bit, at least semi-permanent, because he's also been a heel for so goddamn long that, you know,
I just feel as if most guys switch back and forth, that aren't John Cena. Yeah, I just also feel as if I really want just to have Swagger and Rusev feud forever, because I don't want Swagger to hurt anyone important.
There is a very sickened part of me that almost hurts that, like, hurts. Hopes that he hurts Rusev. But, like, I would never wish injury upon, like, a performer or anything like that. But
no. When we say injury, by the way, you know, like, I remember when I said, and you thought I was crazy, when I was like, I want more people to be injured. And I only meant that in a way where little tiny minor things, like, ow, I think my toe hurts. You can't walk on it for 3 months. Really?
And then Fernando nearly died. And
no,
then
not
Barrett
Fernando.
Separated his shoulder.
No. Fernando was already there, sadly. I was using him in my examples of people they need to be careful of, because you look at this, this, and this, and then Barrett. And that I felt really bad about, because the same night that I said that, we found out that Barrett was injured. I felt very bad because of his push. But, again, I'm hoping it really makes them realize, you know, like, oh, we can't be doing this, this. And then they had the Money in the Bank ladder match, which Swagger was in it. But whatever. You know, hey, you can't win them all.
No, he worked. The thing, he worked a safe match, that match.
That
you know,
true.
There was a lot of spots when nobody got hurt except for Reigns injuring Orton later on, which is interesting.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, it's not like I want to push Swagger to the moon, because I know he's a little bit unsafe, and I'm aware of that. It's just I'm going to be happy if they keep him at face. I know he's going to lose to Rusev, and that's really going to piss me off, because I really hate this Rusev character and everything about it. It's just really bad, and I just don't find him entertaining, appealing. I don't find Lana that entertaining anymore, because everything is just Vladimir Putin. All right, I don't really give a fuck. Like, I zoned out. I have no idea what Lana said, except Vladimir Putin, and then saw Swagger come out after, and I cared. I'm being completely honest with you this time. Like, I think today, after him beating Big E a second time, I had had my limit with the Rusev shit.
Yet that's the issue, because, you know, I want to care about her more than anything, but it's not even the Putin, you know, the Putin. It's the fact that, the pudding, it's the fact that they're trying to make her, quote-unquote, more, they're trying to make her more, quote-unquote, girly, I feel, where it's just, you know, where she has to now scream and cause a ruckus, where when she first appeared, it was very calm. You know, it was very cool. It was very collected. And I understand, you know, and I know it's funny because you can't even argue, well, that's when Rusev was winning. When has he been losing?
That's the same thing I always say. She doesn't need to give in to these quote-unquote little people because of the fact that
he is
dominating.
And it would have actually made everything seem a lot better if she had been quiet for everything, even Big E, because sadly, even though he did lose the second time, they're not doing Big E Rusev again, sadly, because if they did, you could have Big E win or somehow get over in a way, where no, he didn't. So it's just, you know, so she could have been calm for everything. And then tonight, to make it even better for this swagger turn, start screaming and thinking, no, Rusev, no, don't, no, dude, you know, stay back. And then think, oh, shit, you know, Lana's lost it. Wow.
Yeah, or she's losing her edge because of the fact that he lost, which makes sense. So it's just the little things fail in ways.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, moving forward, we won't talk about this too much, but, you know, because we don't have so much time left. No, we have a lot of time, actually. But Sheamus and the Usos, this is why we don't talk about it. Sheamus and the Usos in a six-man tag match the same night. I mean, again, Teddy Long is back with the company somehow. And I just this entire match was just, it wasn't even a bad match. It was just a match when we just got out of, you know, if the Wyatts hadn't taken out Jericho later on in the night, I was literally sitting here thinking, so this is the state of the tag team division, huh? You know,
for me,
this is where we are.
Yeah, I sat there thinking, okay, Sheamus is going to have to lose to Bray here. Like, he's going to have to eat the pin by Bray because I thought, superficially, that they were going to put Bray in the mid-card title hunt. Because, like, they had nothing to do with him. And they just put the other Wyatt brothers in the tag team title hunt. So I figured, hey, they can't do that right over again. You know?
Right.
Like, I figured this is where Stardust gets his moment and then Goldust. So I was like, okay, so Sheamus is going to do the job for Wyatt. And then I was kind of confused when Harper beat the Usos because I was like, but they just lost last night. Like, that doesn't make sense. And the match, by the way, just really didn't. I mean, it was good. It's just.
Again,
that good match quality is almost becoming the norm, so you kind of have to step it up to impress me?
I'll take that, but I also feel as if it's just what it is repetition. Because you can argue that, oh, they have such great chemistry together because they've worked a lot of matches, and then you say the same sentence again. They have great chemistry because they've worked a lot of matches. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, saw a lot of Uso Wyatt action, and that was the first match on the card last night. So it's good and bad stuff, good and bad, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, so the, you know, Harper gets the win. It makes me think, oh, so they're going to do them part two. Maybe if we're lucky, the Wyatts could win, and then they could be transitional champions for Stardust, you know, and Goldust.
Oh, we'll
get
to my love for Stardust later on because it just gets better,
if we're lucky. But anyway, but I just, and also something happened, and I want to rage about it. I don't know if you picked it up. This is where I have my King and you know, JBL quote. I just want to rage again. Oh, my God. I'm getting angry.
Are
we
at the Uso Sheamus?
We're still there. King says, JBL, put your phone down. JBL says, thought I'd join the movement. It's kind of fun. They almost killed your broadcast partner a month ago, and then Harper hit you with a clothesline. Really?
Ooh.
I'm sorry to quote The Miz, but really?
I'll give you that, actually. I didn't watch that, and I will give you that.
I'm so angry because it's just... That's the thing where it's like little things like that really made me just start to think tonight was terrible because it's just, why? And someone will go, oh, it's a little thing. Again, it's on the network forever now, and no one cares.
We talk about this. The little things can make or break a moment, a segment, a match, a storyline. So, you know, don't be willing to pass those things off as just
like,
by the boards.
Like, what if, like, you look at this, like, you look at this face turn, right? And what if, right, what if during it, all one of them had to say on the microphone which couldn't be edited out and would have been on a live Raw, all one of them could have said was poop. That's all. Just something so little that during the entire segment, you know, Lana's going this, and then Swagger gets the turn after, you know, after everything Coulter says, and all you hear from, like, King or someone is poop. That would immediately break, as silly as it sounds, it would break up, just destroy, and it's something so small, so little. You know, it's like, what? Like, why was that brought? That's the thing. It's like, but it can destroy a sec, something, anything like that. So this little thing right there just made me think, like, are you serious? Because we just had this storyline. This wasn't even 3 years ago. Where now it's like, well, you know, Bray Wyatt, he's kind of a stand-up guy now. He has a suit on. He's gotten, but, you know, he's shaved a bit. You know. No. This just happened. This was just before the Last Man Standing match. You know, I mean, come on. 2 months. Is that really that hard to remember that far back, really? I mean, they only do 2 shows a day. 2 shows a week. Come on.
You've used your release for the night. No more Miz references. Go on.
Sorry. I feel really bad about it, too, but it's just, oh, my God. Ugh.
You should feel bad about it. Your reference is bad, and you should feel bad.
I do. Also, for once, you know, usually I complain about the fans, you know, not getting certain chants right because it's like, guys, this is a good match or whatever. The fans got it right. They chanted JBL at one point. Just wasn't even, this match was not even needed. And then we have
that
Nikki's
bothers
segment.
You.
Yeah, and then we have Nick. No, that didn't bother me right here because it's like, that was a good chant. Thank you for chanting JBL, guys. This match was unneeded, not the chant.
Sure.
But anyway, and then the Bo segment. It's like I counted. Bo actually waited a minute.
Did he really? Because
yes.
It felt like a while, and I sat there like, this is a bit longer than I thought it was.
Because he literally said, "Let's take a minute," and he just sat there and just counted Taylor to a minute in his head, and I thought, "Oh my God!" And then the video package. Whoever is making these video packages, all the money that they're putting into the WWE Network that they're basically hemorrhaging, they need to give it to these video package guys. The fact that they basically made a Bo Dallas segment look like a parody segment of John Cena in the same night. Right? With the music and everything and with the whole heroic, you know, theme and stuff. Where all Bo Dallas said was, hey, Daniel, you know, you can do it. That's all he did. He did nothing. And they just had this music and everything. It was great. Especially when Bo said, and you know, you had me be the bigger man. And I was like, oh, like, that's good.
Yeah,
little stuff.
You know, it fit what he needs to do as Bo Dallas. And that's
exactly
why I was very happy with it.
Yep.
Because, and the only thing is, I don't like the boner thing from Daniel. I made it, you know, I didn't like that Daniel was
we
doing
talked
that.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, and I really hope that goes away quickly. Like, I hope they forget
right.
that happened and we chant other Bo stuff. Because that's just one of them where I'm not happy with. You know, and
yeah.
It doesn't make sense because, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying. Oh, he's acting like a boner, he's acting like a dick. Oh, yeah, real smooth there. But that's not Daniel Bryan.
That's
John
Cena. Yeah, though, that's John Cena. That's like a heel Roman Reigns. Not a face Roman Reigns. Remember, you're dealing with the face now, WWE. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. And then what I loved is trying to, you know, keep on trucking. Right after his segment, Nikki Bella just comes out and walks right past Bo Dallas. I think that was really funny. Like, I want that to also be a GIF, where it's just like, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like awkward gentleman. You know, where it's just like, because Bo looks so awkward when she just walked
yeah.
right past him, like, hi. Like, didn't even say hi to him, just walked past him. It was great. But the match was way too quick, though, which really angered me. Again, the little things here and there, because it's like, you know, the last handicap match that Nikki had, it was also very short. And then this one, I mean, the only thing that did save it for me, thankfully, is during the app, the Funkadactyls, or at least Naomi, said that she didn't want to do this to Nikki, because thank God, you know, they said that, because I was a bit confused when Stephanie said, you're going to fight the Funkadactyls tonight, because I thought, wait, but no, you know, like, they wouldn't do that, their faces. But thankfully, they, you know, they use some app time to be like, oh, no, you know, Naomi doesn't want to do it. Cameron's being a bitch, though.
Yeah, so I guess, like, again, it was stupid to me, but you know what? At least they're finally going ahead with this breakup angle, I guess.
Well, what I like is they were actually, and again, every bad thing comes with at least a good thing or two. What they did was, what I like, they made, you know, they're keeping up with this Nikki-Stephanie storyline. right? And at the same time, they are also promoting this heel turn between Naomi and Cameron. But again, as we've mentioned, you know, it's just, I don't understand why they didn't get more time. You know, because you look at AJ and Paige, and you understand why they didn't get more time. They didn't, even though I would have liked them to have more time, they didn't need it. They're going to have more time at a pay-per-view, right? Where this was just, let's put Nikki in a handicap match, but really it's just a one-on-one. And then she loses quickly. You know, it doesn't make you think, no, she was tag-teamed. It makes you think, wow, that Nikki is weak. Why was she on TV again?
No, I mean, it was a handicap.
It was, but...
Was it a little
like...
too quick?
Yeah.
You're right. But I don't know. I feel
the
like they scaled down the women's matches. So, like,
yeah,
if a handicap match for a male would take 2 minutes, it's actually just 40 seconds for the females.
Exactly.
And that's
and
what they're
very...
told in terms of direction, which is terrible, but I figure that's what it, like, mathematically equates to.
With Scott Steiner, Matt. But again, we move forward and we see that they finally announced that they're going to have this battle royal at the pay-per-view. But it's funny because I thought they were going to do the battle royal tonight because I got confused for a second, and I thought that would have been obvious. Like, oh, good, they're doing that tonight. That's why the card has been so shitty.
Yeah, I thought
right?
so too, and I was kind of confused. Or I thought that the returning champion, whoever he would have been, would be like awarded the thing, or he had something to do with the new title. You know, so...
Exactly, yeah.
I was kind of confused. And then they announced it, and I was like, oh. I mean, not that I'm disappointed. Because it's just, okay. And then
of course... Yes,
I thought Heyman's promo was kind of weak.
Yeah, because I don't even remember it. That's how weak it was. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... Oh, wait, now I'm remembering bits and pieces. Yeah, like you said, it was weak, and it didn't need to be there, you know? Again, you have Paul doing this 2 times a week, sometimes 3, or even just 2 if you count Raw and main event. They're going to get stale, you know? That's why I think he needs to get some more guys or even some girls, because you get a Paul Heyman girl in there. Well, now you have, I mean, you know, let's say, like, Paige becomes a heel and then she's a Paul Heyman girl, you know? You can, you know, having, I mean, I know she doesn't need a mouthpiece, but still, having him promote a female, I mean, hell, he can make Nikki Bella look good. You know, that's what I'm saying. Where he can just, if he's promoting someone, he will just, oh, it'll be great. You know, that's the thing, where it's just, but whatever. Anyways, getting back to our point, the fact that the battle royal was mentioned for the pay-per-view, and then we also, we don't even have anyone fighting to get into it. It's just, yeah, you all deserve it for some reason. Okay. Like, you know, we know obviously who's going to win from it, but it's just very weird. And I know you could argue the same thing happened with the Money in the Bank ladder match thing. So, you know, fair enough. But still, it just feels really weird. We're just like, you know, we're having another one, right? So like 2 in a row where it's just, yeah, whatever, you guys deserve this title or something, whatever. Because at the least, you know, for the ladder match, it was the chance to get to the title. Where in this case, it was like, yeah, you guys deserve that thing or something. I don't know, whatever. Like Triple H just was really hungover. Just put them in a battle royal, whatever. Yeah, it's just weird. Yeah, but hey, you know, hopefully Barrett doesn't get de-pushed. I was hoping he would keep on doing segments, even through Skype or something, where he's just, you know, just like, I'm afraid I've got some bad news segments, but oh well, hey, you know, it's okay. I'm just worried that they said, we don't know how, you know, several months, rather than like 2 to 3, where several makes you think 4 to 5. I'm hoping that it's only 2, maybe 3 months. That he's out. I'm hoping he isn't out for too long. Because...
Yeah, a separated shoulder is kind of serious, but I'm just worried because I want to see what they do when he comes back. You know, I want him to get a hero's welcome when he comes back. Like,
yes,
you know, a big vignette where it's like, yes, Wade Barrett's coming back from injury. Or like a Royal Rumble thing.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, if he's going to be out for an extended period of time, keep him out to the Royal Rumble. And just debut him again in the Royal Rumble. Do that classic way because it works. You know it works. The crowd will pop. Holy shit, that's bad news, Barrett. And then, you know, he does his thing. And if he wins, that would be awesome. If he doesn't, then cool. At least he can just show up on Raw the next night, get in the matches, and people will accept it.
Yep, exactly. You know, completely. And hopefully the person who does come out of this with the title, this Battle Royal, is Cesaro. Because I think he deserves it. I think he needs that as a kind of, hey, we're sorry we couldn't give you the big title, but please take this one, and this will possibly, you know, help you get a better chance at getting the, you know, the big title in the future. Because I would be very upset if Cesaro does not come out the winner.
For the record, Maddie's pointed out to me, Kate says reporting that Cesaro actually injured his eye on Raw in the Kofi Kingston match, but
right.
It is not thought to be serious.
No, I assume it's like a Cena eye injury, where they might just keep him. It's upsetting that he's in the main event match, which we'll see what happens there, but if he is in that match, he's in a tag team, I believe, right? So he'll be very protected.
Tonight's
he's
main event match, it's him versus Ziggler.
Oh, that's an issue. We'll see what happens there. I'm upset now because that looked like a very good match, but we'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're smart, they'll take him out and they'll put in Fandango to continue that rivalry because that was also a good match. And, yeah, I mean, it worries me. But, again, you look at the Cena eye injury and he was only out of house shows, you know, for that weekend. So it wasn't as big of a deal as, you know, a Barrett thing. But, hey, again, maybe they should keep on thinking, oh, these guys are just getting injured all over. But also, Kofi had a damn limp. You know, what was he doing here? Like, what the hell were they doing? Again, it just kept – I was in that bad mood where it's just – you saw Kofi limp to the ring. And he put on a great match, by the way, which, you know, good for him. But he still, you know, it's like – I was saying this. You know, what if Kofi got injured? What if he hurt his leg? What are they going to do? You know, where it's like guys are just dropping left and right.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. And also, again, it was a great match. I would say it was the match of the night. Or at least at the time I thought that much. I mean, what would you argue is the match of the night?
It's funny because I don't even have a match of the night in my head.
That's why I want to say Kofi versus Cesaro.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, by the time that these segments hit, I mean, I wasn't really thinking matches. I was thinking segments. Because Match of the Night
That's
is
true.
More of a pay-per-view thing for me. You know where I can judge
fair
the
enough,
matches.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, though, we'll have some great matches pop up. You know, like, but it's just that this felt fresh to me. You know, and that's what I think I liked about this match, too. It was fresh. And then I got really upset. Now, here is where I got really upset. And, you're probably going to call me a heel for saying this, you know. But, now the roles have switched. Now Satish is the babyface, and I'm the heel. CM Punk chants during this match. I'm sorry to say this, but if anyone starts a CM Punk chant now, I'm fairly certain they're an idiot. Right? Unless it's something that just is really, like, you know, offensive, like poop segments or something. But really, Kofi versus Cesaro gets CM Punk chants loud? Like, I feel as if I want to actually write an article now and just really spread it out, where it's just, do you understand that if you're chanting for CM Punk, you're saying that whatever you're currently watching is shit? Like, do you not understand that? Yeah. How is that? Do people really think that match was shit, like, in the arena? Like, honestly?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just, like, we were all hoping for CM Punk in a way tonight in the back of our heads because, you know, returning WWE champion, just for the hell of it.
But
he was sort of like, I think that if Triple H hadn't sent out that tweet earlier in the day,
right,
we would not have gotten any CM Punk chance until, in the opening segment we would have got them, but we wouldn't have got them until AJ. I would argue.
I guess so. It's one of those issues where it's just, like, okay, but then I'll say this much to you. We have, I mean, maybe for Heyman, right? But he hadn't worked with Heyman for a while, right? So why would you just expect, you know, like, oh, Cesaro and Kofi, and, you know, it's like, CM Punk! Like, why? Punk! Okay, but give me a good reason. Punk, man! Well, thank you.
I don't know. I was more angry about it during the AJ segment than this.
I was angry, yeah, I agree, because it kind of derailed Paige. So,
in a bit,
yeah.
Because
she
was going to talk, and then there's just CM Punk, and it's like, guys, shut the fuck up.
I agree.
Merit to CM Punk, and it's a bit easier to make that connection. But it didn't make sense here, because they needed...
Well, you want to know something else that didn't make sense here? Kofi won on the WWE app. Does that make you want to get the app now, Satish?
No, that's because Cesaro hurt his eye, dude.
Oh, that would make sense then. All right, fair enough. At least that makes sense now in context, because without that, you're just thinking, wait, what? Because I was actually obviously I was angry. I'm sure you were fuming.
I was disappointed in it. Now it makes sense. But I was pretty like, what the hell is going on? Because that's why I was just kind of breezing past.
Thing.
Raw. Well,
Here's what I want to mention, though. So the match ended because he was injured, obviously, so he couldn't work the match, but then he was able to beat down Kofi afterwards because those didn't really involve his sight or him physically getting injured.
Apparently, it's not a serious injury at all.
That's the thing. Yeah, but it could have been had the match continued, so they wanted to stop it. But the beating was scheduled to happen anyway, so therefore they scheduled that beating.
They put that on live TV because that needed to be shown.
Right, of course. You know, I mean, Cesaro is literally the definition of white beating up a black man. I mean, it's new. It's different. but hey, we get to something that'll make you laugh genuinely. Santino and Adam Rose. I want twisted T now. Not gonna lie. It's not twisted T because Santino is saying it. Twisted T. I want twisted T very badly. And I'm going to buy it. Are you going to buy twisted T?
I'm 20.
What?
I'm 20.
Why is that an issue? Oh, right. Oh, so it is an alcoholic beverage. I don't know anything about anything. I just assumed that WWE wouldn't be promoting alcoholic beverages, even though it's Raw still. I assume that it was something anyone could drink. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe Twisted Tea is an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, well, I like that then. Good. Adam Rose is promoting alcoholic beverages. That should be what he does, you know? But no, it was great, I think, because I know you made the joke, well, that's where WWE is now financially. You made that joke, right? But I want to argue that I just think that the way they went about this was just great because the way it was just written as if it's just like, no one came to my party, you know? Just someone needs, you know, who wants to party with me? Adam Rose does. Adam Rose, you know, like, you know, like, that's the thing, where it literally felt as if Santino was just like one of those, you know, like just a child, where it's just like, you know, it's like nobody came, you know? And it's like, Adam Rose always wants to party with you.
You know, it was funny, because that segment made me happy. And it's like, you know what, if this is how they're going to use Rose and occasionally in matches, I won't be that mad. I know where he stands. You know, I just think people are rationally hating on a guy that's just meant to be fun. Like, stop taking it so seriously.
Exactly, you know, and what's funny? Okay, I wrote this, don't yell at me. I wrote this in real time. So I wrote, this was the best segment of the night.
Up to that point.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, though, it really boosted my morale because I was just, you know, because again, like at that point, I was like, what are we doing here, guys? And then we just had this, you know, this dialogue that was amazing, made to be a bad commercial, a parody. And it's like, it tastes like real iced tea with a kick when they did the pan out.
Yeah, and then Santino he fell onto the...
Yes. It was just all beautiful. And then when you think that's over... Right? We have Vincent Kennedy McMahon-dow.
That was beautiful.
You know what I think was the really, oh my God, the amazing thing about this is that for some reason, Sandow has a really good Vince McMahon impersonation to the point that I don't want him to be anyone else but other WWE superstars. So I want Bad News Barrett's music to hit. And I want him to just come out and just be like, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Hell, I'll take a CM Punk. I'll take CM... Not tonight, though, because tonight it would have been really bad. Tonight would have been the worst mistake ever. But in the future, I would live for Punk's music to hit. And if for some reason they want to push AJ as this crazy heel still, Punk's music hits, you know, freaking Sandow comes out with fake tattoos and, like, Punk's T-shirt and his tights. AJ comes with him as if nothing ever changed. See, that's the thing. I want things to happen as if nothing ever changed, and no one acknowledges it. Like, I understand. Like, it was great for Stephanie to acknowledge the Vince McMahon thing, because it's like, yeah, obviously you'll do that. But I want them to send him out in different wrestlers' gimmicks as if nothing has changed, right? So he just comes out, and he's Bad News Barrett, and everyone is meant to accept it. Other than the announce team, obviously, and the crowd.
No, I just thought Damian McMahon-dow was hilarious. Like, it's just the whole, everything about it was great. And I was really happy about it because it was like, oh, this is actually pretty funny.
And it was just his impersonation, I think, where it's just, like, just him saying, you know, like, you're fired. I was like, wow. Like, I again, he's really good at that. Like, why is he so good at that?
Because he is all around a talent.
He is. Honestly, he is. I mean, they, like, I have to say this. If one day he gets cut, like, in the near future, I would be very upset. Because he's truly proven himself. But anyway, and then, yeah, you know, oh, by the way, I think, do you want to know the funniest thing about this entire segment? Like, the funniest thing that you may have not caught?
Mm.
Stephanie did not take him out of the Battle Royal.
No, she didn't. And I just thought it was funny because I don't know if it was she's not taking him seriously.
Yeah, I assume that's what it is. But it's just really funny where it's just, how dare you do this? How dare you? I'm going to send in Khali, who will also be in the Battle Royal. Like, I'm sure somewhere in Sandow's mind, you know, taking this, trying to take this all K-Fab seriously, is thinking, did Mom just let me into the Battle Royal? You know,
yeah.
like
I won. In my head, I won, even if Khali beats me down.
Yeah, it's like if you sneak ice cream from your mom, and your mom goes, oh, yeah, you like ice cream so much? Here's one more bowl, because it will give you brain freeze. And it's like, okay. And one day you'll become fat because of it. Yeah, one day you will become fat because of it. Okay, Mom. Like, you know, like, no, it's just really funny. We're just like, he's getting what he wanted. So, yeah, he got chopped by Khali. And also, by the way, I would like to add, they're feuding again. This is totally what this is. They're revisiting the feud. And they're not going to let Kane go with Daniel Bryan. They sure as hell aren't going to let the, oh, God, I think it's a year and a half since Sandow has been in a ring with Khali. But I don't know if you remember. That happened. That was a thing. Remember that for like 2-3 weeks?
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, no, the footage, it was, like, we thought it was an actual botch, but apparently it was a storyline thing. And then they redid it. And I was like, what the hell are we doing here? So, yeah. So, you know, thankfully, Khali's back now, and he can lose at the Battle Royale and make someone look strong by losing.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. And it was really funny because now that we're moving on to the, you know, one of the best segments of the night, when they showed the limo, right? The first time they showed the limo, I was okay with it, although it was a bit off, you know, jarring. The second time they showed it, I thought, all right, they need to do the camera angles better. Because back in the day, right, when they did the camera angle from, like, kind of like a lower area, it made it look, like, interesting, I guess, it went away. But in this case, it just made it look like, oh, like, thank God it was The Miz who came out first instead of Jericho. Because whoever was going to come out was going to kind of, I feel, was going to get this feeling of just show whoever it is already. God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And to be fair, when The Miz came out, very little fucks were given.
Yeah, which was beautiful, wasn't it? No one even, like, it was great in the sense that JBL pointed it out, which is why I said, like, King did not really give much tonight. But I have a great JBL, paraphrase, which was just like, where is it? Oh, just, people are happy to see him. Not too happy, but happy. It was great. JBL described it perfectly. Like, people cheered, but no one was like, oh, my God. Literally,
yeah,
no one said, oh my God.
And then he came back and did his stupid heel shtick.
I was so confused.
Much better than his face one. Because, my God, face Miz is the worst possible
I was just so confused because now I know he's a heel, obviously. But, like, it was confusing because he's like, you know, first off, just before I even talk about how confused I was, he was like, people begged me not to go. I was like, no, they begged you to go, Miz. Like, no, just study the fine craft of, yeah, no, the fine craft of acting. I was like, oh, my God, Miz, what the fuck are you doing, right? But anyway, so that's the thing, where it's like, I was wondering, I'm like, should I be laughing at him right now? Like, as in, like, really? Like, I was confused, because then he was like, and then I'm going to make sure that none of you guys want me to go. It's like, oh, okay, because you're all going to feel like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, so he's vegan.
Yeah, no,
right,
he swerved in that little way, and it was just kind of funny. And Maddie, I think I actually have her quoted saying, is like, because I was so upset about this missing, and she was pretty happy. She was like, swerve, Jericho interrupts the segment. And lo and behold, this is all night, actually. Before I actually read on Kate's side the whole, like, oh, Jericho is confirmed, I was sitting there like, I really hope it's Jericho, because...
Yeah.
I needed something Jericho-esque to keep me interested, you know?
Exactly.
And when Justin Roberts did the introduction again, I was like, no, this is Miz. Like, this is Miz. And Jericho interrupting him was hilarious and perfect, and it just I was screaming because they kept this under wraps, and I was so happy because it just was so good.
What I like is that not only did they keep Jericho under wraps, but they kept Miz under wraps. See, that's actually a bigger thing because you know, Jericho was figured out today a bit, where people were like, oh, you know, people were making educated guesses, and the people who were guessing, who were like, you know, kind of insiders, weren't wrong. You know, the last time they said, oh, yeah, Jericho. So it's like, damn, so it's probably going to be Jericho. And when The Miz came out, it really made you feel like, oh, I actually, like, people were commenting on the internet thinking, oh, it might be Miz. It should be Miz. They're probably going to freaking, with Cena coming out, they're going to freaking promote Miz, right? But it didn't really feel as if there were any actual rumors. And it's funny because we do get a lot of rumors that come true, sadly, where, you know, at first we didn't have these Cena rumors, but then once it looked like Daniel's condition was a bit more, you know, severe, we had these Cena rumors of him winning a Money in the Bank. So, sadly, dreams do come true. But we didn't know. So that's why when we've heard nothing about any of this, hell, we even heard AJ. Now what scares me more is that we heard, I don't want to jump to AJ too much, but we heard AJ rumors, right? We heard AJ rumors about her being pregnant, and now she's clearly back, right? So now I'm really nervous because it's just how much, what else is a lie? You know, like, what else is a lie? Like, what else, you know, is being thrown out there possibly by WWE staff just to be like, you know, like, are they going to throw out stuff where it's like, I think CM Punk broke his leg?
We talked about the AJ thing of being unconfirmed. You know, so
it was unconfirmed.
We talked about it.
That's what I'm saying. No, but it's still a rumor just as much as the John Cena thing was a rumor.
Yeah.
Until he won. That's what I'm saying. Where it's just, like, are they going to throw out something? Damn, I think CM Punk broke his leg. How do we know? Is this his return?
Yeah.
But anyway. But sticking to this, I screamed so loud when Jericho came out, and I mean, here's the thing, ready? Recently, I've been screaming at my TV for wrestling, but it's been like, raw. No, I squealed so loud, like, I screamed like a girl who was also a baby. And what's even better is that I saw some kids cheering in the crowd, and I was just so happy because it's like, you know who he is, you know? It gives me hope for this generation. Where it's like, it isn't just all Cena cheers, it's Jericho, and that's needed. Sadly, though, before Jericho came out, only a few people chanted CM Punk. You know, this is the match. You know, when that's the thing, when Miz comes out, that's the thing. I think Miz just sucked out the energy from everyone there. Like, he's a bio leech. Like, he just sucked. Like, I saw people in the crowd getting older. It was insane. Like, if you can actually freeze frame, people start to get older. Like, children become men. It was really weird. And, you know, and then Jericho came out, and everyone was happy again. And,
you know,
hey.
I mean, there was no reason for anyone to care about
Miz. Which is great. They knew that, which I think is, again, great for them. And what's funny is that I thought, you know what? If you're going to bring Jericho back and he's going to fight The Miz, as weird as that is, because Jericho said, I want to come back for, like, good stories, still. And I don't think, by the way, I'm not saying that it would be a bad story with Miz, but Jericho literally has no reason. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hell, you can't even say, oh, yeah, The Miz has been on TV recently, you know, so I want to cut him down. Like, no. He just came out to be a dick, and then Jericho comes out to interrupt the segment, right? So there's no reason that, you know, it's not as if the, you know, like, Miz was the reason why Jericho had to come back and they had to have a match at Battleground, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, so when, you know, so when this happened, also, by the way, like you said earlier, Miz, you know, again, you know, having Jericho bash Miz's face in, if you can't give me Cena, right, you can't give me that happening to Cena, thank you for The Miz. That'll do, pig. That'll do. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, no, it was a nice one. And Jericho doing it, too. I mean, I really can't stress this enough. Chris Jericho is back. And
yeah.
I mean, that's great. Because he's in a program with the Wyatts.
Yes,
that's
thank you. You know, I was
great.
It's great because, and this is why I was like, oh, This is what they're... Because the thing is, if they... Because I really thought they had nothing for Bray, and that's why he was in this fucking six-man tag. I really thought they had nothing for Bray, because they've exhausted everything. And it's kind of funny, because while I want to be completely... That's the thing. That's what I was going to say. While I want to be completely optimistic with the whole Jericho coming back, still, it is kind of upsetting when you think they really have exhausted everything. Because who is he going to fight? Sheamus? I mean, like you said, maybe he'll fight Sheamus, because it's like... I would have laughed where, like... Bray goes, you know, you're a John Cena wannabe. And I would have been like, ooh, like I would have taken that. But no, we have something better than that. And hey, we can still have Sheamus versus Bray in the future after, you know, Jericho leaves. But hey, right now Jericho's here, and it's okay, because that's how you use Jericho's talents. If he's going to put someone over, as much as I love Fandango, you know, sadly they dropped the ball on Fandango. So, yet Jericho's sitting here like, so I put this guy over at fucking WrestleMania, right? And what happens next, you know? Now he's a mid-carder, honestly. But with Bray Wyatt, there's just something about him and the way they're promoting him that in no way, I think, like, they'd really have to try to ruin him after getting a win off of Jericho.
Yeah, I agree.
And still, as I'm sure we all know, Jericho's amazing on the mic. So Jericho can do so many things to kind of taunt Bray Wyatt to the point where now we can probably wonder, is Jericho a face or a heel by the time this whole thing is over, you know? Where people are sitting there like, which one are we supposed to cheer and boo here? Because Jericho can do some really screwed up shit, you know, to really kind of attack someone. And it's great because Wyatt is exactly the same. See, Jericho is kind of like a Stone Cold in that sense, where we're okay with them doing things like that because we understand. But when John Cena does, you know, Photoshops of Sister Abigail, everyone gets up in arms because you're supposed to look at John Cena like this guy is, you know, someone for the kids to look up to. But Jericho can dress up as Sister Abigail and do the code breaker to Bray Wyatt, and we'd all go, yes! Yeah, we chant yes.
Right.
It's okay. I think the only issue with this entire segment was Michael Cole. As always, Y2J has become Wyatt2J. The fuck, Cole? Like, seriously, the fuck? What? Like, the fuck? I have no... that's what I said. Every good thing has to have Wyatt2J. Every good thing has to have a Wyatt2J. But then it's okay, because we have Fandango versus Dolph, where I was actually very excited about that match, because these are two great workers. But then, sadly, we...
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, it's really weird, because I think that... So, I'm really laughing, because, okay, right? Backstage, right? I thought they were going to tell Jerry Lawler, hey, don't say sexist comments, right? But you know what they did say? They said, wait a minute, no, we need JBL and Cole to possibly say them as well, so that everything seems cool, right? So JBL said something, and it's not even completely sexist, it just rubbed me the wrong way, where he's talking, I know he's a heel, but still, he's talking, you know, sometimes he's very entertaining and he's whatever. So he's talking about Fandango, and he's like, oh, Fandango made his choice. Nobody likes these tall, athletic types. And it's like, well, one, speak for yourself, you know? And two, it's like, why are you commenting on the women's bodies? You know, like, the women might be able to comment on each other's bodies, but why are you jumping in here? You know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know, I'm probably just nitpicking, but it seemed off to me, right? Where it's just, you know, again, you just had this whole, you know, Jerry Lawler thing. Why comment on the women's bodies? Like, why
are we... I'm inclined to agree with you.
That's the thing, where it's just, like, if they didn't have the Jerry Lawler thing, it would have rubbed me the wrong way, but it wouldn't be like, you know, nothing would be fresh. Where it's like, you know, like, hey, like, again, even though men are writing this, still, if two women want to say, you're fat, right? It's different between John Cena going, actually, you're both fat bitches, oh, Hoskies can't see me, and then he runs away.
Right.
You know, there's a difference, where it's like, it seems as if it's kind of leaning more towards the Hoskies can't see me kind of attitude, which is a problem. But hey, I mean, you know, then the match was interrupted, which, you know, I mean, I thought that there was going to be a kiss, if only because it's Dolph Ziggler, the guy who steals your girl. So
that was interesting, but, like, I'm not sure how to feel, because I'm obviously biased towards Dolph and his stunning good looks, but,
yes.
like, at the end of this day, Summer Rae is trying to get back a sleazebag.
Well, and you see, that's the thing, where it's just that's the problem, where it's like, wait, really? But if they're smart, here's the thing. You see, if you look at her in NXT, you see, that's the thing. I think kids, if they see the whole picture, they're like, well, I mean, she doesn't really make good decisions, and she's still kind of mean. So in a way, you don't have to follow her.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way. But, again, without that NXT package there, sadly, it's kind of just like, damn. Or, again, they could be like, oh, she's really desperate. And you could, and hopefully, if you have a parent at home, they'd be like, yeah, don't be desperate like that. Okay, mommy. You know, okay, daddy. Like, that's how you would react to that, hopefully. Where if you do have someone watching that with you or at the very least walking past and going, huh, you know, that's not how women really act. Okay, cool. Which I know that's a problem when it's overall, but again, in this case, in this storyline, it kind of can work. Where, yeah, she seems desperate. That's not really how women should be, but in this case, some women and some men do get that way. You know?
Yeah,
what
I
is,
mean,
what,
you
yeah.
can argue that, oh, that she's, you know, taking matters into her own hands and she's looking
yeah.
strong or whatever this way because of that. I wouldn't really agree with you, because at the end of the day, she's still chasing someone who doesn't deserve her. You know,
I
and
agree.
Is willingly just sitting there, like, kissing someone else and stuff. Like, I just...
Well,
it's
one of those things. That's the thing. She's a heel. I think she's just trying to make him jealous, and that's something that a heel would do. It's not something a good person does, in my opinion, where it's like, oh, I'm going to kiss, you know, your, even though they're not friends, but so I'm going to kiss your friend, or I'm going to kiss someone, you know, I'm going to kiss someone random to make you jealous. It's like, there's a reason why you're with the BFFs, you know? There's a reason why you're in that kind of group, you know? You're
right.
not really... That's the thing, where it's like, I think with the NXT package, you can kind of see what they're trying to do here, where it's like, you know, what I will say, though, and again, I will say this, if AJ and Paige wasn't on the card tonight, this would have been very bad for the Divas.
Okay.
You know, very
oh,
bad
okay.
tonight. Very bad.
Okay.
Where, that's the thing. You need, I think that there's no reason why you can't have women who are, quote-unquote, weak or mean on the card if you are able to showcase the exact opposite. Because,
by the way,
again,
we had three Divas segments.
Which is, I think it's a record. Everyone, pop the champagne.
No, but really, we didn't do. I mean, we had the Bellas, and
we
had Bellas and the Funkadactyls. We had this Fandango circular storyline here.
I know,
and
you
then
said,
we had AJ Page.
I know you said Funkadactyls, but you sounded annoyed, and with the pronunciation, you went, yeah, we had Bellas versus the Funkadactyls. Funkadactyls.
Because
but,
I don't
but yeah,
give
we have...
a fuck about them anymore, unless they're breaking them up. I mean, that wasn't intentional. It's just like...
But it was subconscious. Your subconscious is just yelling.
My subconscious fucks up a lot of things.
Yeah, but seriously, though, I think that... What I think we got tonight, actually, I think we got a double heel turn. I think we have now... We have heel Ziggler and face Dango. And I think it's okay.
No, Ziggler's not a heel.
Yeah, Ziggler just... Here's the thing. I know it sounds silly. She kissed Ziggler, and then he immediately went, excuse me, referee, and then made out with her.
But you're joking, right?
I'm joking. It's just he's in that weird stage right now where it's like he also kind of took that advantage on Fandango, something that Bo Dallas also did, where it's like he took the advantage to get the zigzag on him and then take him for the pin. And also, hear me out, though. They're putting Fandango in these really weird positions where it's like they want him to be a heel, but they put him in situations of peril that if that was John Cena, it'd be like, no, you know? Like, John Cena's whole world would have collapsed around him, right?
John
where,
Cena's
like,
whole world could never collapse around him because he would hold it up by his own biceps and stop it. While
he would
pinning
actually,
someone.
He would actually be sexist. That's the only way he can actually fight it. But
exactly.
Yeah.
That too.
The only through the power of sexism can you make sure to be stronger than women. But
this whole storyline kind of bothers me. Because
yeah.
I'm glad that something's happening. I just...
Right.
Layla and Summer Rae should say fuck the Fandango. Summer Rae doesn't have the right to randomly kiss Dolph and then... It's still weird
that's,
that Dolph randomly
see,
kissed her
that's
back.
That's what I'm... See, that's the thing. What I'm wondering is, I'm wondering if they're actually trying to, again, slow, which is their problem. Their slow builds are just molasses slow. They're not even good slow. They might be looking towards having both Layla and Summer Rae go, wait a minute, this guy isn't worthy of either of us, and then kind of slamming the door shut on him.
And then Dolph
him,
Ziggler gets them both.
I would hate that, if only because I want that. And I shouldn't want that at all. But I just, for some reason...
You should
I
want
haven't.
That, Matt. If we're going to be
no.
sexist, it might as well be with Dolph fucking Ziggler.
Yeah, no, it's just, here's the thing. Not that he gets them both in that sense, but in the simple fact that it's just like, you know, you have Summer Rae and Layla just, you don't deserve women like us. You know who does? Hey, ladies. Like, just immediately kind of just comes in, just kind of
Venus?
Them.
Oh,
yes,
well, yeah,
exactly.
Val Venus, of course, deserves those women.
Because
Val Venus
was
a different kind of guy. I mean, look, he just, the towel and the, hey, ladies.
We need that. I'm not going to lie. We need that return. That'll be the best. That'll be the best pop of in a really slow Raw. Just, why is the Raw so slow? Val Venus appears. All right, guys, that's not as big as a deal as you think. Like, just, Val Venus appears.
Actually, it is a pretty big deal, Matt.
I was waiting for you to follow up with that. But seriously, though, if it's Dolph Ziggler taking both ladies, not to actually date them, though. See, that's the problem, where it's like, I wouldn't want him now in a love triangle if not both ladies going, of course, Dolph, we can both date you, but not him. I'd be like, oh, what? No, but to actually just be like, you know, like, you don't deserve us. What about me? Dolph's a good guy. Let's just talk to Dolph in the corner. Bye, Fandango. Like, Fandango's like, no, but... Because, again, Fandango has done some heelish things. Like, you know, where it's like, he did kiss Summer Rae back. That's a huge issue.
Ooh.
You know, where if they're smart, they're using this as a way to, like, keep that feud going, but also kind of make, you know... Because, again, if they're smart, which, sadly, they usually aren't, at the end of the day, at the end of this whole thing being over, both Layla and Summer Rae, or at least Summer Rae, will think, wait, this isn't right. I shouldn't be okay with this. And then gets to slap Fandango. And Ziggler is just being used in a way because they need someone to fight Fandango to make it fresh. And honestly, with the way that, you know, both Ziggler and Fandango are in the ring, I'm for it.
I'm just wondering what the hell they're going to do from here now. Because
yeah,
I figured Dolph will go over on Fandango and I'll feel bad for Fandango because he used to matter.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
You're trying to say that Dolph Ziggler doesn't matter?
Dolph matters. I just feel like nothing good happens to Fandango anymore.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, even his main storyline right now is extremely sexist and unpleasant.
But good things happen to Cody Rhodes, or shall we call him Stardust?
Yeah, he's
right,
not Cody Rhodes
versus
anymore.
Stardust.
He is not Cody Rhodes anymore.
Did you see that video with him and his wife?
Cody?
Yes.
No, not at all. Oh,
it's a beautiful video. Everyone, check it out on WWE.com. Not WWE.com, sorry, on their YouTube channel. It's really funny. Basically, it's like, okay, for like a full, like, it's like 2 minutes, right? Where his wife is, like, filming it like it's paranormal fucking activity. And she's just like, oh, hey, you know, just, you know, making a video for Cody, you know, because he's not in the house or something, or he's out or something. And, you know, oh, damn, the dog got out again. You know, because, like, apparently there's, like, some, like, opening in their fence. Where it's like, Cody usually puts the thing here to, you know, stop the opening. Yet the dog got out again. Come here, so-and-so, you know, gets the dog back in the house, puts the blockage there. She's like, okay, you know, she's like, she hears something. Honey, are you home? Honey, where are you? She's going in the house with the phone camera on. She goes into the bathroom. She's like, huh? You know, she looks into the mirror. Nothing's there. She looks down. She's like, there's all this makeup. Like, honey, have you been using makeup? Puts the phone up. He's immediately behind her at the door, just looking at her dressed up as Stardust. She screams bloody murder, and the video ends. I was extreme, because what's great about this is that she's actually been making videos constantly for a while now, and this was her last one, I think, recently. Same thing with Brad Maddox, who, like, had been making videos fairly recently, and then all of a sudden, apparently, according to Brad Maddox, he's in a cave, stuck there. Please send him help. Yet he can still somehow upload these videos to YouTube. You know, little things. But still, he needs your help, everyone at home. So please, send Brad Maddox your help. I forgot where he is, which probably wouldn't help him at all. But send him your help. As I said this before, I said this earlier in the night, right? Rybacksel versus Dust in the Wind is what I call them. There really aren't a lot of tag teams. Wow. This is bad. You know, why is this, again, it's another thing where it's like, why is this happening again?
Yeah, it actually bothers me, because it's like, this one isn't even fair, because it legit is 24 hours ago, you know? And it's just, and we already knew the victor, and then they won again. So I don't know if you're going for, like, a definitive thing, but whatever. I mean, I'm not going to complain if Stardust keeps getting wins.
Yeah, though I won't either. I do still think that he needs to work on some things, though. Not really in the ring, because he's great there. He just, I feel as if there's a reason why he hasn't been cutting promos on television, you know, because they really need him to work out his voice. I said this before, but I really want to drive it home. He needs to work out his Stardust voice, you know, because even if he can't sing, that's fine. But
he does need to work a little in the ring, because...
Fair
he's
enough.
Incorporating a more flamboyant style now.
Right.
And it's still not perfected yet.
Oh,
but
no, that's true.
Obviously putting in the effort, and because
yeah,
of that, I am very happy.
Right. No, that's true. But, and of course, you know, his actions, that's the thing. If he became a mute, his actions would just speak louder than his words, honestly.
Yeah, no, he's really, and that theme song is beautiful, by the way.
It is. And also, I think the Feed Me More chants were amazing. They really got intense. And honestly, just please bring that back, WWE. We have, so you should too. Honestly.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. And then we get to pretty much our segment of the night. Paige comes out, right? And they're letting Paige just, you know, come out. And it's like, oh, yeah, Paige, you know, she's just gonna talk about some stuff. It's cool. Nothing crazy. And then, oh, my God, you know, AJ's back.
Yeah, that was a huge thing for me.
Because,
I mean,
wow.
Yeah. AJ's back.
Off,
and,
yeah.
I mean, if Paige is my queen, I mean, AJ is my queen of another country that I don't reside in. But she's still a queen somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's like 1 and 1A. And it's just the double turn makes me happy because face AJ and heel Paige is what needs
well,
to be.
Well, that's what
thing.
We're assuming right now. We haven't gotten full confirmation based on, we need to see, hopefully on main event or hopefully on SmackDown they'll continue this or something, because I would hate if this is a thing we have to wait a week for. I want to also see Jericho on SmackDown this Friday. So hopefully, if it's going to be 4th of July, honestly, I want to get you over for 4th of July just to watch SmackDown and drink some beer.
I'm going to be somewhere else drinking beer.
You're going to miss Jericho.
I probably will.
Okay.
But that's what
WWE
to be on YouTube is for.
Basically, yeah, sadly, they really need to get rid of that. God. It's like, why do you need the network? We have everything on, you know, so the basic, you know, the bare minimum on YouTube. But anyway.
Yep.
But as I was saying, though, so we don't know about this double heel turn yet, but if it is that way, it's going to be
I don't know. I think it's pretty confirmed.
It should be.
Because Paige was screaming bloody murder, just, this is my house now.
Yes.
That was awesome.
It was really cool.
Like, I don't know about anyone else, but I was in love with this whole little thing.
I was.
And outside of the CM Punk stuff, this was a huge thing. You know, this was a big thing. Because...
Yeah.
AJ and Chris Jericho in the same night. I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah, and that's why we had to tread through
some of the garbage bag in a white suit. Jericho already nailed him. But yeah, we've got a new punching bag too. That's incredible.
Yeah.
What a night.
But seriously, yeah, I mean, what I think is great about this is the fact that, as I said before, they really kept it on the wraps. No one knew. Normally, you and I are the ones. Like, well, we didn't have a rumor show this week, sadly. We usually do our rumor mill, but we kind of pushed that aside because of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Right.
We still had no AJ rumors whatsoever. We had that pregnancy thing that we told you all about, I believe it was a week and a half ago, if not 2 weeks ago. So that was a very long time ago. The point is, you know, with the way WWE, there's always rumors every day. So we had no idea that AJ was returning. There was literally, like, we assumed, we were actually a bit nervous. We thought, well, this is going to be her time.
Yeah, also,
you know, going to retire.
I've heard that AJ is not pregnant.
Well, with what she just did, I'm assuming she's not.
Don't want to jump the gun here, but...
Fair enough, but I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Is she have lost? Again, maybe it's like, oh, you know, now they're retiring her, but she won. I'm fairly certain she's not going to be wrestling pregnant.
She's pregnant.
That sucks. But seriously, I'm fairly certain she's not pregnant.
Yeah, I am too. It's just a rumor, but I don't want to, you know. But
no, I don't know. Yeah. Here's the thing. But I will say this much, though. Now we can really say for certain, like officially, that in the back they were just, you know, waiting. Because we saw how bad, you know, Paige was booked and how bad she looked and, you know, how bad she barely said anything. And, you know, and they just weren't trying. You can literally tell they weren't trying. So that now when Paige comes, you know, comes out, they even give her an amazing line. I felt as if before AJ came out when Paige said, "I usually let my actions speak for me. You know, I don't really say much." I thought, wow, that's actually a great way to save why you've been freaking mute forever. And then she starts saying, "Oh, you know, I've beaten a lot of people here. I've proved myself, you know." And I was like, and, you know, I beat AJ. I was like, oh, my God, no. I was, like, so nervous. I was like, wait, no, no, no. Her music hit, and I exploded. My brain just, I can't even fathom what just happened.
Yeah, I think, no offense, AJ, I think I popped a little bit more for Jericho just because this is really, like, Jericho's just one of my all-time heroes in wrestling,
of
you know.
Course.
But what a great, you know, it was just this, as they mentioned, you know, they kept using poetic justice, and I'm kind of mad that they did, but
yeah,
that was a really good way to describe it. It was a poetic justice kind of thing, where AJ came back and beat Paige in the same way because, you know what, Paige was getting too full of herself, because she was humble, according to the character they're putting out, by the way, according to, you know, nothing I actually, Paige was humble when she came up and nervous and stumbling, and then she just started trashing people, and she's like, you know what? I am fucking good. I beat everybody. Nobody can fucking touch me, just like old AJ.
Yep.
And now next week we're going to have Paige basically be like, that was a fucking fluke.
Yeah,
because Paige didn't tap out to her move. She lost by a roll-up. So she can claim that.
Yeah, and it's great because, again, this is the match. Well, I will admit, it's weird to have this all at Battleground. If they're smart, they're doing this because they're just – because, again, they probably – I'm happy. They're being self-aware. They're realizing, you know, Miz actually coming back would probably send people to turn off the channel, right? Turning – which I'm a bit nervous. I'm wondering if people actually turned off the channel and then 10 minutes later saw that people were tweeting about Jericho and then turned right back on. But still, Miz – you know, really bad thing to do. If it was actually Miz, nothing
I
else.
Agree.
People
I agree.
Would probably have not even seen the AJ thing.
Right.
Then we have Cena being your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, which could have actually caused, like, I would not be surprised, which is funny because I would wonder what they're thinking in the back. I would not be surprised if this Raw actually got very low ratings just because of that. Where you know, maybe the only thing that did save it from having really low ratings is that people said, wait, who's coming back? Maybe it's Punk, and actually believed that, you know, and turned it on because of that. So I'm really wondering what, you know, what people thought, you know, what happened to them, you know, and, you know, how these how the ratings worked with Cena. Because, again, they became self-aware. You know, they realized.
Yeah, let me point something in your direction, by the way, since we have this whole Paige AJ thing on the tap.
Okay. Yes.
Normally, when you think about SummerSlam, you've got your big money matches, and you've got some gimmick matches sprinkled in there because you want it to be serious, you know?
Yeah.
So when you look at the women's division, we don't always happen to have gimmicks matches at all, for the most part. And the ones that we've had have been horribly sexist or, you know, just they haven't worked. So is this the time you bust out a gimmick match? Like, and what I mean is, like, let's say we go to Battleground and we have some kind of inconclusive finish or something that can lead to a further storyline between AJ and Paige, right?
Right.
Do we have, like, then at SummerSlam, a no DQ or something like that? Do you think this is the time they take the jump? Because I would argue that there is no better time to gamble on their matches, on the women's matches, than with Paige and AJ, than to give a no DQ and just have them bust out the weapons.
Because I would say
steel cage. That's interesting.
Yeah, because it's semi-safe. You know, where, I mean, you look at something like weapons where, you know, again, I'm just worried about what they think. But, you know, but, yeah, steel cage. I mean, yeah, I would bust out something. Because
I'd bust out the weapons.
Fair enough. No, I would want to go for weapons, but I'm worried about what they in the back think, you know, about women being weak, whatever, stupid shit like that, where it's just, you know, cage, you don't have to use it to the point where you're actually going to destroy your opponent. You know, in a way that isn't safe. Right. But I would like to say, though, that, yes, I would like a gimmick match, because even if, let's say Paige, I don't know, it would be silly if, you know, Paige does win it immediately at the next pay-per-view. Right. But let's say she does.
Mm-hmm.
right? She wins. Again, I know it sounds, you know, funny how it's like, well, you know, now the yo-yo effect. AJ also has, a shot at the title again, right? So then, yeah, then at SummerSlam, you have them in a gimmicky match. Because, yeah, if you're going to have the same match, two pay-per-views in a row, you better not think you can just make it a normal match again.
Well,
so
then,
yeah,
for me, what I would feel comfortable doing is, let's say we've got this whole, which tumbles out, like, to the outside of the ring or something.
Right.
And Paige grabs something from under the ring and hits AJ with it. And that's how she wins the match. Anything. You know, like, any kind of weapon that could be there. And she wins that. And AJ basically is like, look, if you want to play that way, then we both should be able to do that. And then we have our gimmick match. See, that's my fantasy booking right there.
But here's the thing. In no way, though, should Paige think. Like, because Paige won the match, but she didn't win the title. Why the hell would she want to do that? She's not given another chance.
She has to rematch clause.
No, but she has the rematch clause.
No, at this pay-per-view.
Yes.
I would say that Paige should win via, you know, this weaponry thing. Like, she cheats and uses a weapon to win.
Oh, and then she wins the title because she cheated and the referee did.
And then the next night, when AJ
is
discussing her thing, she basically says, we should both have it. And if Paige says, I'm not going to do that, AJ basically goads her into it. Where
exactly.
She basically is like, oh, so now you're too scared to do it and stuff. And at first it won't work, but then at the end she'll be like, fine, I'll do it your way. And then we'll have our gimmick match. And I think that would work because I want some legitimacy. And I think that would be a very quick way to put some legitimacy.
I mean,
people think, oh, my God, the women are using chairs.
Yeah, and even if, you know what I think? Even if, let's say, like, you know, Paige reclaims the title at Payback and AJ can retire. Like, let's say this is her, like, last run. Battleground, I'm sorry. I don't know why I have Payback in my notes. God, Payback was terrible. I'm trying to make Payback so good that I'm currently trying to book matches at Payback again.
Payback was still terrible. Sorry, not sorry, people.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel as if this is AJ's way of maybe... Because, again, they can give her a second title run because she, you know, she's so good at what she does and, you know, it can be her last hurrah. And in a way, it could kind of... Because some people would say, oh, they're going to punish AJ because of Punk. No. At this point, with their treatment of Punk and them wanting Punk to come back, they could actually give AJ things, right? In a way to say, see, if you just come back, we'll give you things. Look what we did for her. She came back. We gave her the title that's good. And as long as she doesn't go over Paige, I think, then we're going to be solid. You know, cleanly, where it's just, oh, yeah, Paige has no reason to fight her again, then we're going to be good. Because it's like, see, Punk? Yeah, like, because, again, it could be a way of them trying to, like, not only, obviously Punk will never come back for that, you know, stupid shit, but you can easily say, like, okay, you know, they're, like you said, they're bringing legitimacy, hopefully, to the Divas division. They, you know, AJ had a rematch clause against Paige. You could have Paige now being in the title hunt while being a heel and AJ being a face. Mm-hmm. And you can also, again, not make it seem as if she's trying to be, you know, punished, because I think that was silly. When people were like, oh, you know, she was being punished, she was leaving.
Yeah, and in no way, by the way, am I saying that they need the weapons to be legitimate. What I'm saying is that I think it would be a quick boost that
I would be very happy with. It would, because we want there to be longevity in this feud between AJ and Paige, so in no way do we want three pay-per-views of the same exact normal match. There's so many things you can do where, I mean, you look at what they did with John Cena and Bray Wyatt. And even when you look at, you know, and it's like they, you know, they gave them weapons. They told them, hey, you can break this and break that. And in no way are we saying, look at even, you know, Shield versus Evolution. Now, in no way do we want Paige or AJ to jump off of Titantrons. But at the same time, it would bring, you know, things like that would bring legitimacy, sadly, where they haven't been
putting it. Look at Bray Cena, exactly that. Because you can equivalate Paige AJ to Bray Cena in a way, almost, you know?
Yeah.
So when you think about how much they matter to the upper card. So
exactly.
Why would we need to see Paige AJ 2 as the same normal match if the males are being booked to have gimmicks, because we know we just don't want to see the same exact match again?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's not fair. It shouldn't work that way, in my opinion.
No,
and I think it's not something I want to bust out all the time, because not everybody is safe enough to work in that kind of match. Obviously, they don't do that with the guys either. But I do think it's a card you can pull with Paige and AJ.
Or, you know, Paige and Emma. Hopefully when Emma can build Emma back up to that level that she was at.
Mm-hmm. Those are my top three right now, you know, Paige, AJ, and Emma. And all three of them could probably do it.
Yeah, I would even argue Natalia could. It's just she's too busy stuck in NXT for some reason. But it's also putting over workers and NXT,
Tyson kid.
Thankfully. Right. But, hey, she's also putting people over in NXT, which is worth it. Same with Tyson. But also, I don't know if you noticed this. AJ got really Hispanic during her vacation. I know she is Hispanic. Being Hispanic myself, you know, I know it's fine. But it's weird. Like, her speech patterns and her tan just made me think, wow, like, she probably is related to me. I can't be attracted to her.
Thank you for the racism of the night.
Hey, I am Hispanic. I can't be racist.
Yeah.
People believe that, everyone. People believe that.
thank you for the lesson of that was the rule of morality moment of the night.
No,
any night that I get to make an Animaniacs reference is a good night for me. I'm just saying.
No, but seriously, though, all jokes aside, when I say that she got Hispanic, I mean like her speech pattern. She reminded me of like
she did
people
get more
in
tan.
My family. No, not even the tan. I mean like something about like okay, I like how you're Guyanese, right? And you quote unquote worked on your accentless voice, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, but I'm saying I feel as if she. Like, she's worked on that as well, where before she left, she had her perfect, you know, she didn't sound as if she was, you know, Hispanic when she actually is. Her last name is Mendez. My grandfather's last name is Mendez, you know? So that's the thing. So in some way, very, you know, it's like,
well,
but anyway.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I did not notice the same thing. I did notice
okay.
the tan. I
right.
will rewatch this.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It's very little.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just didn't notice it.
No, it's funny because you're actually like, I will rewatch it if only for this research purpose. I will not watch it for any other reason, for simply research, Matt. That is why I will rewatch the segment, because you mentioned this. I was not going to before.
No, you know? I wasn't. I had my fill. I was very happy.
Okay, good. But seriously, though, it wasn't anything. See, he joked, everyone. He's not working for the WWE, Mr. Lawler. But seriously, though, it wasn't anything major. Right?
And that wasn't based on a figure thing. That was based on a, whoops, I just lost my pants because that segment was beautiful.
Oh, all right. Yeah, memes. Yes, why not? But still, yeah, it wasn't anything major. It was just something very like little that she said in a way. And I was like, oh, hello, Hispanic AJ. It was weird, like, as if she, like, since she had some time off. Like, for The Rock, he gets rusty in the sense that he's just not funny. Where AJ, she just becomes more Hispanic. It's like as if that's her ring
okay.
rust.
Now you're towing the line. Because what you just said was being Hispanic is bad.
No, that's, no. What I'm saying is it's not bad. That's the good thing about AJ. That's what I'm...
You akin it to ring rust.
What I was trying to say is, you have to understand what I'm trying to say. See, I'm going to actually defend this now for 30 minutes. No, I'm not going to. But all jokes aside, I'm kidding. What I'm trying to say, though, is that, you see, The Rock gets actually unfunny, where AJ, she doesn't get any of that. She's still just as good as she was from the beginning. It's just that for some reason her accent starts to pop out, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, that's what I'm saying, where it's just, you know, that's what happens, man.
I'm going to laugh so hard if I rewatch this that I do not hear an accent.
Again, it's nothing major. It's not like the entire time she has an accent. I just hear, like, it was, like, little bits, you know, here and there. And by the way, the reason why we're focusing on this, everyone, is because we really don't want to jump to the main event. Because there was a segment
there
after
was a main
the main event.
Event
that we loved. Yeah, exactly. The segment after the main event.
One more time.
I can't wait till we get to actual, you know, like to New York City, where I'm going to be there July 12th. Which, by the way,
you get to watch
Jericho's.
A 20-man lumberjack match.
But here's the thing that's really interesting, though. We now have Jericho, RVD, AJ, and Paige. You know, I'm really excited.
Rick
really
Flair's going to be there.
Yeah, I know. But I'm really excited about everyone else.
He's such an asshole.
No, here's the thing. While I love Flair, he's not a competitor anymore. And he is going, and you know, and they've already announced him being there. That's the thing. So I knew he was going to be there. He's just going to talk to Triple H, probably be, you know, the face against Triple H for some reason. So it's like, oh, okay. But Jericho is new. We didn't expect this. Even The Miz, like, even though they're not going to have an actual, you know, storyline just yet against each other, you can still have Jericho beat the hell out of Miz at a house show. Why not?
Steel cage.
Yeah, in a steel cage. No, it's now that Miz is from Hollywood, everything is a Hollywood reference. In a steel Nicolas Cage. It's just a cage match, but they're calling it.
That would be funny if he makes references like that when he's out there in Hollywood. In a steel cage match. Listen, the only cage I deal with is Nicolas Cage, bucko. What?
like
that would have been funny. It would work.
Like, just a little, how great would that be? It's just like it's a steel cage match, but on each corner there's a speaker, and they just throw out Nicolas Cage quotes. So like during the match you just hear "Not the Bees!" and just a whole bunch of other things just being promoted. Just "I am the Ghost Rider. There's a thing, and it's inside me, you know, and it's vengeance." You know, just those quotes. Just,
Nick Cage isn't
that
great of an actor, is he?
Not really, but I would love that. We need a Nicolas Cage match now. We need a steel Nicolas Cage match.
A Nicolas Cage match, honestly?
A steel Nicolas Cage match.
I would love to edit the, like, mod the pack of WWE, one of the 2K games, and
right.
just take the layout for the cage and make it Nicolas mm-hmm. Cage's face.
I would die completely.
Because we have a Nicolas Cage texture pack for Minecraft. And
oh, God.
It would be fun to have a texture pack for WWE.
I would laugh if we got the exact reverse of what happened tonight, where CM Punk comes out first, and then for some reason, Nicolas Cage feels as if he needs to come out right after. We now have CM Punk against Nicolas Cage, not in a wrestling match, just in an actual promo. Where it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just, these people love me. It's like, do they really love you, Punk? Huh? Do they really?
They do.
See, you don't understand something, Punk. I got something inside of me.
You're fixated on that line.
Because I did, because now in wrestling, it's perfect. Where it's like, I got something inside of me, this passion for the business. You don't have it, Punk. You lost it. You walked out. You left. Like, I don't know why
you
we're
sound
doing
more
this.
Like
wrong.
Napoleon than Nicolas Cage.
God, CM Punk, God, you walked out. You're terrible. No, but seriously,
vote for
Cena. Vote for Cena. Can't do this anymore.
We're ending early. Good night, everybody.
But I will admit, though, it's like, I don't know how this main event could happen because, again, WWE
just... Oh, you'll admit we're ending early?
To...
No, it's okay. I'll play the music and everything. I'll play us out.
I feel like WWE tries to do soul-crushing things and then expects to have matches after. Because even though I was very happy with AJ and Paige, I still just felt very weird with, like, her losing. And I can hear it, you son of a bitch. I can hear it in the background. God damn it, I can hear it.
Continue.
No, you should. A real American
you know
appeared
I can
tonight.
Stop that, right?
You know I started it, so I obviously know you can stop it. Yes, I stopped it myself. But seriously, though, the thing is, so they have these weird kind of, I feel, like, soul-crushing type segments. And then it's just like, yeah, let's have a main event. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, no, I get it.
But anyway, as I was saying, yeah, we just have... That should have been lower. That should have been lower. Oh, God.
But no, look, the main event, I guess, was kind of a killer because, like, okay.
That's why
nobody,
we're really just walking around it so much, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it just, all jokes aside, it just was, it is what it was. I mean, Randy Orton and Kane are teaming up again. Oh, God. I mean, this hasn't happened before, ever again. The Cena Reigns thing, the pairing had the potential to be interesting, but from the beginning, the way it went on, we kind of saw the Smos finish in the making. And
yeah, and it was just a standard, it was kind of a standard thing where it's like, you know, because we have John Cena, the other guy has to be, you know, the weak one that's going to get Cena in on the hot tag. And it's like, well, wait a minute, though. Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And it just, you know? I guess it almost sucks to me. It bothers me because of the fact that the segment after, which is so entertaining. And I don't even know if it bothered me because the match was John Cena or whatever. Like, it re-hit me, the fact that this is now a 15-time world champion. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, what hit me, too, is the fact that, okay, ready? After, you know, big things, you know, you're going to have your cool-down matches and, you know, you're going to have your... And then you're going to have your main event, right? After some cool-down stuff. AJ Page was not a cool-down in any way whatsoever. So logic dictates that, honestly, this felt like a cool-down match. And this is your main event.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue, right, where this is your main event. I know there were big people involved, but just something about with, you know, and I even said, oh, yeah, you know, big matches should be at right after each other. Yeah, at pay-per-views, you know.
Yeah.
At pay-per-views, you can have these huge things, but I don't want title after title match or, you know, whatever, in actual, you know, Raw setting. Like, no, you can have cool-down, like, but at pay-per-views, though, yeah, two Money in the Bank ladder matches, Cash in the Vault ladder matches after each other. Because, yeah, you know, why would you have anything to be a couple minutes and then lead you into the main event? No, it's stupid. And in this case, yeah, this was really stupid, where it just kind of happened.
Since the match was pretty shitty, I mean, do you want to just delve into the post-match? Because that was actually pretty interesting.
The crowd actually cheered for Cena getting RKO'd to the point where it's almost unanimous. So, guys at WWE, do you see how bad this is?
If you remember, we were in Boston last night.
Yeah.
Cena's from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
That was hometown Cena last night getting booed as he won.
Yeah. That's, like, there's some issues. They really aren't getting that. And then, as you mentioned, as we laughed about, one more time after Kane's tombstone. I mean, wow.
That's almost sadistic.
Yeah, like, and it's funny, you can tell they're getting closer and closer to New York, but it's just, my God, you know, wow, like, I can't even imagine what's going to happen on July 12th when I'm there, you know, it's just like, I mean, like, what are we, because it's a house show, but still, like, I imagine everyone's just going to be just screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, I mean, man, like, this is bad, this is getting bad.
You know, and I guess what was cool after for me, though, they made true on the whole Rollins-Ambrose connection right away.
I was very happy about that because I actually forgot about the Ambrose thing because of how caught up we were and everything, which, again,
yes, don't be bad.
Kudos
Maddie to them. Maddie did either, where when Rollins' music hit, she was like, no, I can't handle this right now. I can't handle this right now. I was like, no, it's okay. And then after, you know, Ambrose just dashes in. I was like, that's good, because they were deliberately being slow with the cash in and stuff like that, so you could tell.
Yes.
But... it made me
I was
happy
worried.
Because it happened. Like,
right.
We just immediately were like, F-ed.
And of course, and if anyone doesn't know, for some reason there's someone listening right now who doesn't, you know, he didn't cash it in because the bell didn't ring. So he still has that briefcase, thankfully.
Yeah, which is a mechanic they use a lot with the cash-ins.
Which is
good. It's funny because I would have been kind of happy if they actually blew their load on it tonight had Dean Ambrose not cut his promo earlier.
Of course.
Had his logic not been, I am going to wreck your opportunity every time you try,
right?
I would have loved to see Rollins do it tonight because it would have put the cherry on top of what would have been an interesting night. Rollins is champion.
Yeah, of course.
AJ back and a champion, and Jericho back, period.
Yeah, what made me nervous was, of course, forgetting the promo and then seeing them wait. I was like, no, because I'm so nervous about Cena kicking out just anytime.
Ah.
Like,
so you were concerned about Cena kicking out, not the fact, yes, okay.
Because that's
I understand
a scary
that completely.
Thought. Because, I mean, hell, like, again, like you've mentioned, you can drop a house on John Cena, and you go, God damn it, I just wasted a house, you know? It's really nerve-wracking because again, I told you, tonight was one of those nights where you legitimately scream at your television screen. I've had those fairly recent. So after everything, and I felt just like Maddie felt, like I can't handle this tonight. Like if Cena had not been able to take, because they because that's the thing. I will admit, yes, WWE is very. They're very out there. Like, they're very just there. Like, put in your face. Because the second I was like, why is Cena really injured over nothing? Which is really shitty. When I was like, he took an RKO, he got thrown into the steps, the steps were thrown at him, and then he was tombstoned. Yeah, but why isn't he getting up? Like, I was expecting him to do a you can't see me and kick Triple H in the head. So when he didn't do that, I'm like, why is he? Like, because again, that's something John Cena would do, right? I'm going to pounce on him. Yeah, cheer me, kids. Woo, you're supposed to do that to bad people. Be bad, you know. But he didn't do that. And I'm thinking, all right, what's this? And then Rollins' music's hit, and then I flipped.
Yeah, I'm also getting used to the whole Rollins and Ambrose singular music thing. Starting to like it.
Yes. And then when Dean stopped it, I giggled. I was just oh my God, it was beautiful. Because, you know, I was really worried that Cena was going to get to 2 3/4. And then also, by the way, but you know, when Reigns came out, I truly, first off, it also made him look good. Because even though the match kind of didn't make him look good, it was great that he kind of came out just to, you know, do that. Where it's like, good, you're doing something. I truly believe, though, that he killed Randy Orton. Like, I believe that after the Staples thing, just backstage, he was like, do you want to know what true pain is? And I'm just currently... I don't think we've got any reports on Randy Orton being alive, so I'm going to go with him being dead, you know? The sources haven't really gone either way, but our producer says yes, so we're going to go with Randy Orton's dead.
You're our producer.
I'm going to go with Randy Orton's dead.
I want people to realize the subtlety of the joke he just made.
But anyway... Sadly, we're going to have to cut this short, you know, 5 minutes left on the clock. But don't you worry, everyone, because if you want to hear more of us, you know, definitely like our Facebook page, Those Guys on the Radio via the URL, or you could search up Those Guys, both on Facebook, by the way, our Facebook page. If you want to email us about any maybe show topics, maybe you want to, promote us, or we could promote you on our show, our email is thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. And again, you know, on our Facebook, we will always promote our shows. I mean, we'll do Money in the Bank pay-per-view matches. I can hear you playing it in the background, Satish! Oh! And also, we also do, you know, Dragon Ball Z shows, mostly on the movies, with myself and my co-host, Tristan Walter. Sadly, not Satish Ram, this son of a... And then we also...
A special Mother's Day message.
I hate you so much, I'm broken.
No, continue, Matt. You were talking about how they need to like our Facebook page, which is Those Guys on the Radio, if you're looking at the / URL. Or you can just search Those Guys in the search bar. You can always email us at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter now, thanks to Maddie, Those Guys Radio. We're working on that. Don't worry. Maddie will take care of it because she is, as always, wonderful. Email us with any advertising opportunities. We're always looking for new people to work with us, collaborate.
Mom!
Keep on talking.
Answer me. Who are you?
Mom, it's the Green!
Let that child alone.
I have never taken orders from anyone.
Let that child alone.
I have
that one in there.
I have a lot of random things on this switchboard that I probably shouldn't. But anyway, so yeah, so as you were saying though, yeah, so, you know, we have our own Facebook. Also, This Week in Comics, by the way, which we usually do, that's a great song, that we usually do with my co-host Anthony San Andres. And also, before we go, I would like to actually be a bit serious. We joke a lot on here, but I am really sorry if I said anything offensive about Hispanics before. Being Hispanic myself, I forget. You know, I forget certain things, but it's like, yeah, no.
That again, yeah, I want people to be clear. I was busting Matt's chops. I'm not trying to insinuate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, because I would like to say, like, I admit, that could be taken offensively. And I want to say, like, I joke a lot, but in that case I was being serious, which is why I want to, you know, be very clear that I'm, you know, sorry.
You know what
is
offensive, Matt?
What?
My play-out song tonight. It's not that. Don't worry.
No, I know what it is, I believe. So I'm very confused as to why it's offensive.
It's offensive for 2 seconds only.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I mean, we're at the end here. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. I'm Matt Morales.
Oh!
everyone.